this Teams Insider podcast, I talk to Jason Morden at Crestron. We get into how the industry is changing. Jason's got really great perspective on where the industry is changing around Microsoft Teams and AV. And Crestron is kind of spanning that world of the traditional AV and the new Microsoft Teams world. So thanks very much to Jason for taking the time to do the pod. Really appreciate his insights. And many thanks to Crestron for being a supporter of Empowering Cloud. Really appreciate their support. On with the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the pod. Been looking forward to this one. Jason Morden from Crestron. Jason, do you want to give us a little bit of intro and a little bit of background?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me, Tom. It's great to be here. I, too, have been looking forward to this. Schedules crisscrossing all over the place. So a little bit of background on myself. I currently have a role within Crestron. It's a little bit of a strange title and a strange job, but myself and my team, we love being in this position. We have a group within Crestron called Technical Marketing. And so we have two responsibilities. If you think about the normal flow of information within a company, you obviously have your marketing team, you have your sales team, and you have your product development team, if you will. We sit in the middle, my team specifically, and a lot of the work that we do is making sure that information coming from product team to sales has the appropriate context and additional messaging. And then we also work in the other direction to take information that we gather from the field or use information in terms of requirements and help to drive that product team. We also influence trade shows. You just mentioned ISE and experience centers as well. So that's part of it, trying to make sure that we can put the products in the best light. I think for your audience, one of the things that my team focuses in on heavily is making sure we replicate the authentic experience. We go to a lot of trouble to make sure that when we are showing the products, it is the correct feature set that Microsoft might choose, that all throughout many of our demos and things like that. So that's the role. We just sit in between. Sometimes we call ourselves translators. Other times it's really just looking to pick out pieces and bring that to the forefront for both sides of the company, as well as our customers too.
That's awesome. But I think that role and your history gives you a lot of perspective, and obviously Crestron have big and small customers all over the world. So what I wanted to dig into on the pod is, when we talked about this privately before, has the market changed, right? So AV, it feels like there's a lot of kind of commoditization and bars at the low end. There was also the whole COVID thing. Did that change behavior? And is it technology driving the change, or is it user need driving the change? I don't know where we want to jump off, really.
We can start with any of them. I think generally, let's take a look at changes to the industry in general. I think it's fair to say that a lot of it has been a little bit of an ebb and flow. We had a very traditional path prior to COVID. Obviously, that turned things on its head in terms of usage, whether or not people were going to the offices. And to be honest, I mean, a lot of our technology for Crestron specifically was in those physical offices where people weren't going or weren't attending. However, new sets of requirements have emerged in terms of how you're using the spaces. What else does someone need to facilitate? We also have this new conversation of, if I'm going to the office, what's there waiting for me? Does it make it worth it? We have a whole different conversation around that. And for me, it's just been a back and forth. And for those of us on this side of the industry, right, we have our traditional UC and we have our AV and we sit squarely in the middle. A lot of us has been just adapting and trying to figure out ways to draw out features of the product set. Our product development team does a great job of creating solutions that can fit a number of different scenarios. But sometimes there has to be a little artistry to figure out, okay, how can I address this particular challenge, or how do I meet this particular need with this technology? So a lot of our tech, we even see it used in different applications than we'd seen before. We had a lot of cases where it used to be just an HDMI cable on the table, walk in with a laptop. Your expectation was when you plugged in, you could present. But now with the UC changes and everything else that's happened, being able to use our technology to further enhance or facilitate Teams rooms or other technologies like that, that's been a big part. In terms of your last point there, what's driving what? I think they're both driving each other. I think it's just a matter of being adaptable and being responsive to see when a change is coming. How do I best prepare for it? What else can I do with the tool set I have? So, but I think that could, to your point there, we could take that back in a number of different conversations as well. Maybe the next one to think about is the product selection in terms of what people are using or which particular set. At ISE, now, as we're making this today, we're two weeks out from ISE effectively. We had our all-in-one Android product on display. It is not yet available for Teams. That's a near-term goal of ours to make it available for Teams. We were showing it off from a hardware standpoint. And I think that might be one of the most interesting takes that we have. If I had to look at two different paths, number one path is I'm going to make a move to the Android product solution because I want ease of setup. And that's really the key one product to install as opposed to multiples. However, if we look on the flip side, one of the big things that's happening with another segment of the industry is that we have in another platform, another technology platform, we have a case now where we're looking to extend Android solutions with AV products. How do I place that Android device into a room where I might need additional items? How do I control lights and shades from an Android device seamlessly? So it's interesting. If you look at both, we have both trends happening at the same time.
You're right. We see some of the Android devices now, we see people baking in other people's DSPs or other people's drivers for cameras as well. So you're right. The what was the super simple Android is trying to get slightly more mature in terms of its interop and capabilities. And obviously Microsoft are pushing very hard on the Windows NTR story to make that simple one-click auto deploy sub 4 hours is their goal. So both pieces are pulling from a deployment point of view. I guess it's the customer who decides what mix they need.
Yeah. And let's be honest too. Many of the spaces, if I had to look at my personal, and this just from speaking from experience, when things started to happen in 2020, one of the things I was directly involved in at that point was trying to facilitate for customers, helping them stand up even temporary Teams Room systems. We had customers obviously buying products for the long term, but I had a number of customers that purchased Teams Room systems just to take it to a hotel to be able to stand it up, to have a meeting. And it wasn't a permanent installation. They put it in a case and they traveled around and they were hosting these Teams meetings as they went all over the place. If you look at all the different room types, we saw cases where the largest room types were addressed potentially earlier in the cycle than we would have imagined. And the reason that some of the bigger rooms were adapted or addressed for Teams room systems at that point, specifically with social distancing, I needed the biggest room possible. Now, it might have been 2 months prior, they had the meeting down the hall where it was a 12-person room, but now they needed to place everyone into a room where you could have that 6-foot, whatever it would be, 2-meter barrier between people. How do I space people out? But I think now that we're back to that, many of the spaces that customers are now looking at adapting are of that caliber, of that tier, those biggest spaces. Even though we have this great momentum going, medium and small, and the rise in the interest in the Android products, we still feel like there's a number of rooms at the higher end that haven't been addressed yet. Some of that might be, it could be just as simple as just being resistant to want to do it. It may be a case where it's difficult, so I'm going to leave it for later and I'll worry about it. However, we are reaching that point where we need those spaces for various reasons. So again, to be redundant, right? We tend to be orbiting around in different cases on both sides of technology. In terms of what's driving what.
Yeah. It's interesting that you have the kind of Air Media BYOD and the now you've got the Android bar coming. You've got, obviously you've had Windows NTR for years, the one beyond at the very high end, just certified. One of the things from ISE that I thought was really interesting is the one beyond, which I in my head is high end, although the price point is more aggressive than you might guess, but like coming out with USB based one beyond cameras to bring that price point for a multi-camera optical camera solution down even further. Is that customers trying to bring that technology to different rooms, smaller rooms? What's the driver there?
Well, there's a few things, right? I would look at it this way, that if you weren't familiar with the product previously and you knew about the offering, you might believe that the one singular solution that's offered within our One Beyond, we've effectively taken the One Beyond branding and it's part of our product family now. So we're keeping all of the intelligent video work that we're doing within that One Beyond family. But it's moved to threefold as opposed to the single approach. Previously, large room, multiple cameras, handling and switching. And what's been born out of that for this next generation of products is a continuation and truly an enhancement on what we can do with the largest spaces with the controller we refer to as Automate VX and the multiple cameras. But to your point, now we have two other initiatives. One initiative is to make sure that the products have the ability to communicate almost on a one-to-one basis, as you would. What's maybe surprising is the interest still in optical cameras. There's still a number of people that have moved through their generations and their upgrades over time with products, and they still want to rely on an optical camera, either one or multiples in the room, but based on size and dimensions and requirements, that's still very prevalent. When we brought out this generation of cameras, the decision was made, of course, we want to be able to make sure that the cameras can both work as part of the larger system, but also on an independent one-to-one basis. So there's that interest. And then the other application or the other design we had a chance to talk about at ISE is that we have a very unique proposition where we're taking two of those cameras, the intelligent with a 12x optical zoom, and we're allowing them in this new application design to link together. And so they can work in tandem with each other while still remaining a single connection into your Teams Room system. And the two of them can communicate with each other, determining who's in view, which should be shown, and then effectively that's seamless back. So it's not just, again, going from one to three is how I look at it in terms of the opportunities now available with the One Beyond family of products from Crestron. And I'm pretty excited about it too. There's a number of cases where even internally on campus, we were relying on an optical camera and looking at those and saying, okay, we're going to bring that back into the fold now and we're going to make that one of our products.
That's cool. What do you see? I work with quite a few AV vendors training and working around Teams because they're all skilling up in the Teams space, I feel like. But I also see some specialist partners that are more Microsoft partners and they're coming into AV. So I feel like the world is coming together. The AV specialists are getting more up to speed on Microsoft. The Microsoft specialists are trying to get up to speed on AV. I feel that, I don't know what your perspective, but I feel like it's harder to get from Microsoft to AV in some ways than AV to Microsoft. But what do you see? Because you have some like fairly advanced, complex programmable solutions. You've got some simpler solutions. Who do you see playing in those areas?
So to your first comment there, I do think it is slightly more difficult to move from the Microsoft realm into the AV realm. And a part of that's just the nature of the AV industry, the way that the industry, now there is recognition within the industry in terms of moving towards being more open. I started in truly paid AV work 25 years ago. Before that, obviously, in a different capacity. But if you look at that over time, the AV community and the industry has matured significantly to be more open door, less barriers for entry, different ways to bring people in. But generally speaking, I've done a lot of that work in working with a more Microsoft-centric company, helping them to pull in or help them to enhance with AV. So that definitely, I would agree. The challenge, right, going the other direction, it becomes a little bit easier, obviously, to pick up skilling. Microsoft does a great job with making things available. Individuals like yourselves in the MVP community, obviously sharing a wealth of knowledge freely with others, which is something that AV isn't as aggressive with, but is getting better about, I would say. I've seen a lot of change in that space. When you come down to that, one of the things I even do personally, Tom, is I look at the portfolio that we have, and I start off with the things that are the easiest measures of adoption. And those are the first places I go to with the Microsoft community, if you will. All right, let's look at items that don't require configuration. Let's look at items that don't require programming. Is there a basis where, not a plug and play? I'm not a huge fan of the term because obviously there's always something else you have to do from UPnP all the way down.
Yeah.
It's been a nice term to make people feel comfortable, but I'm not sure how well anyone's ever executed on it. There's little bits and pieces, right? Can I work through a web interface? Can I have a simple configuration? And so I've started there, but that core market on the other end of it, again, there will always be some particular requirement of something special. So many of those cases are driven by individuals or behaviors that are difficult to uproot. I've always used the room this way. I always wanted to have this functionality. But I think over time, as we do see them merge, I think both sides are aware of the other and doing a great job of opening up. One of the campaigns I've championed within Crestron for AV companies learning or picking up some of the Microsoft solutions has been, we have a class that we offer that we've done for 3 years now, 3.5 years, where it's specifically our products through the eyes of Microsoft, through the eyes of Teams.
Yeah, I think I saw you do it at Masters, like you had a workshop.
Absolutely.
There or something.
70% of that is Microsoft knowledge and sharing Microsoft knowledge to the community as well. We know that our foundation, they understand the principles, they understand audio, video, network, everything else they might need to do. And so we try to synthesize as much critical Microsoft knowledge as we can into those groups. And there's a lot of things I'm happy about, Tom. I spent hours on account configuration and working with PowerShell and sharing PowerShell scripts. And thankfully, with the advancements within the Teams Pro Portal, for the Rooms Pro Portal, many of those things now are, you can do it with a click. You don't have to have that knowledge, right? And that's changed. It changed for the customer's benefit in all cases that way.
It's interesting, though, that Microsoft have made that investment because very often Microsoft are, if it's good enough and partners can muddle through, it's good enough and it's getting deployed. I think Microsoft appreciated that both for, because a lot of customers have in-house teams doing this stuff, but then for the AV partners, it can't be to scale. It can't be, as you said, PowerShell scripts and stand on one leg and this happens and that happens, but right. You have to do it in this order. And it very early days, it very much was like that. It feels like it's definitely got a lot. There's still some tricks, but it's got a lot more mature.
Yeah, you can see the advancements across the board. And again, what's best for the end customers is best for all of us in the industry leading up to that. I don't get to flex my PowerShell skills or whatever it is, but I'd rather not. I'd rather the customer's up and running with that timetable a little bit faster. I still hold it back for a few things, right? If I'm spinning up a demo tenant and I need to do helping a customer get off the ground, I'll still do that and have it do everything for me. But the day-to-day, certainly the advancements are great. And again, to the customer benefit in those cases.
Do you think we'll get to the point where I feel like one of the challenges with the Microsoft partners coming into AV is a lack of understanding around things like what bar a use case is for. If the camera can see the person, then presumably the audio can work, which obviously is not true. And a slapping gear in where it's outsized, the room isn't suitable, for example. Do you think Microsoft partners and customers get better at recognizing what those limits are? And also, do you think those systems will get better at configuring themselves appropriately, more dynamically, rather? Because they're not very configurable at the moment. It just is what it is.
I think over time, I think eventually there will be a case where we may reach a point where self-configuration. Look, the easiest part, I could give you a number of examples for enhancement across multiple platforms that will make that easier at some point. Will we ever get there to that nirvana where everything just auto-configures itself? Probably not. Because we can't take the human factor out or the expectations of the customer out, because we could go to docs.microsoft.com or reference as much as we want to. That doesn't mean the customer who's inheriting the system will actually have ever consumed any of that to know what it's supposed to do. They're going to come in with their own expectations as much as we would like to. But again, I can give you some simple examples too, what we're seeing. If you look to the video platform, someone like Netgear, who is built intelligence into their switches where it'll auto identify the vendor of the product and help categorize it into the right VLAN so that I don't have to have that secondary knowledge. The work that they're doing to accelerate network deployments is vastly significant for both AV, but it's also been a makeway too for the Microsoft people coming in, because that's another place. I know I've shared this advice with some key Microsoft partners here in the States as well, is that when you go to look at AV, there are, you might call them shortcuts, but there are a number of cases in which by simply making a selection or adopting a piece of technology, you can truly accelerate your skill set or your move into the AV space. And the audio teams are doing as well. We've seen the idea of intelligent microphones to be able to send audio through the speakers, measure the distance, make
Yeah, we see it in the consumer space. So I used
Correct,
to have,
exactly.
I used to have Denon AV and it had this right. setup thing. And
you remember putting the microphone
Sonos.
On your couch
yeah,
in the middle?
Yeah,
and
that's it, yeah. And then the
chasing
Sonos
your family out so that they don't have to listen to those high-pitched tones
and
chasing
Bing.
Your pets out of the room.
Yeah, it's just interesting. We've seen that in the residential consumer type stuff, but I feel like there's probably good technical reasons, but I feel like that's something bars could conceptually do. It's never in the immediate term, it's not going to be as good as a human tuning that by any means, but it might be something.
True. But I think the other thing we also should keep an eye on too is cloud-based processing. In the bigger rooms, we rely heavily on physical DSPs, which do a phenomenal job. I've spent hours of poring over different configurations and working to set up systems and things like that. However, we will reach a point when in somewhat of a, I won't say near term, but there will be a point where we reach that the available computing power of the cloud has the ability. Now, we obviously there's latency to keep in mind there with the difference between local and cloud, but the sheer power may change the audio platform as well, in which you're simply offloading everything to the cloud and respective delays reaching other clients, things like that, that we may see more of that lifted out of the room as well. No, we'll still have the physical need for speakers and amplification and all those things. But I think that also may be another factor in terms of improving audio performance. Or I think what we would love to see from and solely speaking, not from a manufacturer, but even from a customer standpoint, we'd love to see a case where you place the device into the room and the device then tells you, I'm probably not in the right room size, right?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. What I want to see is if the camera has perspective and it could do vision sense to be like that wall's 22 meters away. I'm not
maybe not a big display that says take me out of this room, but more of a case of based on the room I'm in, here are the expectations, right? I don't know if we as manufacturers would ever be able to move there, but you'd think though that from a customer standpoint that'd be phenomenal. Here's my sizing, here's my scale, here's what I'm working with. Probably wouldn't be great for the AV end of the industry from a sales standpoint, but that's the type of clarity you're really looking for in many of these cases. And the other thing too is that there's the design element of choosing the right space for the room, but there's also the purchasing element, right? if I'm going to order, and we saw this heavily at the start of the room refresh in late 2020 and early 2021, is we saw customers who are buying pallets of Android products, if you will, or whatever it might be, some type of UC platform. And again, they were overkill maybe for the smallest rooms. They worked perfectly for the medium sized rooms. And then they struggled with the large rooms. But it wasn't just someone, and there was no sinister approach of saying, okay, I'm gonna use this for everything. It was more of a case of convenience, or this is what I can get. We saw a lot of that too, where that was the only product I can get my hands on. And I know that in certain rooms, it's going to struggle. And so that leads into some of the bits, right? If you were to look at, I mentioned it before, in the product that we have coming to market with our Android all-in-one piece, it is targeted towards medium and large rooms. In a small room, the field of vision of the cameras won't perform well. It won't meet your expectations if it's placed in a small space. From an audio standpoint, it would probably be great. It'd probably be overkill. But there's that too. But then
that's a classic example, right? Isn't it? Because you take that as a given because you understand the technology. Whereas I can see a buyer being like, okay, it's large and medium. Mm-hmm. It's bound to be fine for a small because that's less. Right. But it's like, actually, it's suboptimal because of the optics.
Yes. Yes. Very true. And that's, again, that's what we'll continue to move through. And then again, brand loyalty, product availability, whatever the factor might be that might choose you to, or encourage you to choose a particular solution. Again, there's that human factor. We can't necessarily work out of the equation.
Yeah, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, Jason, thanks for sharing your perspective. I appreciate you spend a lot of time in the community sharing your knowledge. So thanks for that as well. We'll loop back around when the Android certification for the bar comes, no doubt, and have a conversation Absolutely. About that.
Yep. Quite a few things, Tom, too. We have that. Again, there's another number of things we showed at ISE on the horizon as well that we're really excited about this year to. And look, for us, it's the tool set. We want to make sure the customers have the right tool set to be able to put the right products in the right room. That's the end goal, is to make sure that end customer gets the right solution for the right size space.
Yeah. And I appreciate you and Crestron supporting us, and it'll all be in the newsletter as well. So look out for those announcements as they get certified. In the meantime, Jason, where can people find you, get hold of you, ask you tricky questions?
If you can, right? Everywhere in between. LinkedIn or otherwise. Again, Jason, last name Molden, Moulden. You can find me on any of the platforms if you do have things. And we'd love to hear from you, and feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Thanks, Jason.
My pleasure, Tom. Thanks for having me.